When Christians first came to Korea in the late 18th century, people actually thought Christians were cannibals. People whispered those believers go into dark rooms to eat human flesh and drink human blood. You might immediately guess that this was regarding the Holy Communion. There were even scary rumors that Western missionaries kidnapped children to make medicine out of them. Be careful. It was a huge misunderstanding. It led to a lot of fear and even riots, which was one of the main reasons for huge persecution on the very first arrival of Catholicism and the early days of Protestant missions in Korea. The exact same misunderstanding happened in ancient Rome long before it occurred in Korea. Did the misunderstanding happen because the Koreans or Romans were foreign to Jewish culture? As you can see on the screen, after Jesus fed the 5,000 near the Passover feast, the people followed him because they wanted more bread. When Jesus explained the true meaning of the bread, they were shocked. Shall we read Jesus' saying all together, please? Many Jewish disciples were grumbling about this and offended. Shall we read their response all together?
This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?
Yes, this is hard teaching for Jews. Blood means life, and they are strictly forbidden to eat animals with blood. So when Jesus said to drink even human blood of him, it must have been more than a shock, and so they gave up following Jesus. We can see that the misunderstanding was not only about the Jewish culture, but it was also about understanding Jesus' spiritual language and was more about accepting and believing Jesus as the Messiah. Then do you know the meaning of eating Jesus' flesh and blood in communion? Seriously. Do we know why our pastor Mark encourages us to join in communion as a sign of being devoted members in Thorny Church? What do we actually expect to happen when we eat the bread and the drink from the cup? Today, I want us to look deeper into that spiritual language, the eating of the flesh and drinking the blood, to understand why we do communion, and more clearly, how we experience what is meant to happen in it. Shall we read verses on the screen all together, please? The hour here does not only mean that the time for the Passover came. This hour signifying the official beginning of Jesus' passion, pointing towards the crucifixion and resurrection. So we can see that what Jesus was doing in this very hour, namely initiating the communion in connection with the Passover, is very important to his redemptive work. Also, Jesus was deliberately introducing communion following the order of the Passover meal to say that it is time to transition from the shadow to the reality. Last time, Martha and Alan both talked about the initial Passover in detail. So I believe that now we have the background to compare the Passover and the Lord's Supper in a few points. Firstly, the sacrificial lamb in the Passover was the symbol of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died instead of us. Secondly, in the old, the Jews remembered the deliverance from the Egyptian slavery by continuing to keep the Passover. The New tells us that actually their deliverance was a shadow of our deliverance in Jesus from the slavery of sin and from eternal death and condemnation. Lastly, in the Passover, God commanded the Israelites to eat these three foods, the lamb, leavened bread, bitter herbs, but later, over time, Jewish people added more symbolic food, including the wine. In the Holy Communion, Jesus commanded us to eat only bread and wine. From this, we can see that the concept of eating existed in the Old and the New. As you can see on the screen, the spiritual language of eating is related to the covenant. So the spiritual language of eating should be understood in the context of the Old and the New Covenant. What is the covenant? We divide the Bible into two, Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is the same word as covenant, which means promise. So we can say that the Bible is all about the promise, the covenant, the promise about relationship. God becomes our God, the King, and we become His people covenantly. As Mark taught us, this is the basic formula of the covenant in the Bible, isn't it? This talks about the relationship between God and His people. So the Bible, the covenant, the promise is all about how God, the Trinity, promised to restore the covenantal relationship with us. Salvation, peace, shalom, rest, etc. These are all the interchangeable covenantal terms in the Bible with the restored relationship in the covenant. The Trinity agreed how to save people from their sins during different roles in the covenant principle. This was done even before God together created people, as God knew we would have no ability to keep the relationship with a holy God ourselves because of our sins. Jesus is redemptive. Role is vital for making the covenant work, even though the role of the whole Trinity is important to the covenant. That is why the whole Bible is about Jesus, as our current series tells us. The covenant looks too big or complicated to learn in a short time. It is because there are masses of God's spiritual languages in the Bible in the context of the covenant. Eating is one of the covenantal spiritual languages, and I hope it will lead us to understand what the action of eating means regarding the covenant. How to eat will help us to be in the covenant relationship with God as His people. God asked people to do covenant ceremonies to confirm that He is restoring the relationship with us. This is Moses' covenant, one of the shadow covenants. When we understand this ceremony connected to the new covenant, it will lead us to the meaning of eating in communion. In the first stage, It is only God who can initiate the covenantal relationship between God and His people, as people are unable to do so because of their sins. You will see the covenant formula in different wording in these verses. Shall we read them all together, please? From the reading itself, we would think that becoming God's people seems to depend on keeping the covenant laws. But as we already know, the Bible says that no one can become God's people by keeping all the laws. So that is why God, in verse 4, reminds us that deliverance from slavery in Egypt, which is a symbol of our justification and our legal salvation spiritually. Let me explain more easily like this. Here in the first stage of the ceremony, God is saying that, as I have saved you already, do you want to continue being in relationship as my people, keeping my covenant laws? It is like a refugee that has obtained British citizenship. After becoming the citizen legally, it is natural to live according to British laws to become truly British. More correctly, believers are already in the covenant because God the Trinity chose to save us before the creation and shown more clearly when we finally believe in Jesus, the Messiah, through the shadow of real covenant. Then after, we join in the covenant ceremony as a confirmation and the renewal of the relationship. In this context, the people collectively accept, even though they and God knows that He still cannot keep all the laws perfectly. This is one more we need to notice. Look at Moses' role in covenant. He is delivering God's message between God and the Israelites. Why? God is holy, so sinners can't see God's face and live as they die. There is so much of a gap between God and us because of our sins. In this context, God had to prepare a mediator from amongst the people. That is why in the shadow covenants, there are many mediators, like Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, kings, prophets, priests, etc., who are all shadows pointing to true mediator, Jesus, in the new covenant. Without a mediator, we cannot come near to God in the covenant. In the next stage, God says, "This is the way you should live as God's holy people." The way of life is shown in the Ten Commandments and other laws in the Old. In the New Covenant, it is, in essence, the content of the Sermon on the Mount. The summary of the Old and the New is, love your God and love your neighbor. God is saying, you are my people, so live like me, love me and others in the way I do. That is what holiness means. The next stage is sacrifice involving blood, which formally makes the covenant official. Shall we read this all together?
Moses entered the blood, sprinkled upon the people, said, "This is the blood of the covenant, the Lord has made with you, in order to call Israel."
Thank you. Moses sprinkled half the blood on the altar, and the other half on the people. He calls it the blood of the covenant. Why do we need blood in this stage of the ceremony of the covenant? In the previous stage, God revealed His character as love by inviting us into the loving relationship. However, in this stage, it shows the love is a just love. He cannot let sinners become His holy people without dealing with their sins. Even human judges in the court cannot just let criminals go free without punishing them as a consequence of their sins. So our loving God decided to pour out His punishment, God's wrath, on Himself, not on His people. If people received His punishment, He would die, which means they'd be eternally excluded from a relationship with God. The covenant is God's self-curse. The covenant is God deciding to have the curse on Himself in order to give the covenantal blessing on His people. For this, His substitutionary sacrifice is done. Blood means life in the covenant. God exchanged Jesus' life for our lives. God clothed the first man Adam with the skin of an animal. God provided Abraham with a sacrifice. Sacrifices is in Leviticus. They are all shadows. In this context, in the Passover sacrifice, Israel killed a lamb and sprinkled its blood, which speaks of Jesus' blood, His life given for us. I told you that the mediator is essential to have the covenant. This is another key element in the covenant, the sacrifice. Unlike the old covenant, which needed the mediator and the sacrificial animals separately as a shadow, in the new covenant, Jesus is the mediator and at the same time the sacrifice. The mediator in the old was a still sinner, so he could not sacrifice himself for his people. So God made him to be one with the sacrificial lamb. That is why God asked the priest, the mediator, to eat its meat after a sacrifice to symbolize that Jesus, the mediator, and the sacrifice at the same time. In this way, Jesus made a way to restore the relationship in the covenant. After making the covenant official with blood, the ceremony had to the final stage, the covenant meal, which is the climax of the ceremony. You would have already sensed that, the meal is about eating. Yes, you will finally have a look at the meaning of eating in the covenant. Why is eating needed in the covenant ceremony? Why is it the climax of the ceremony? Let me remind you of this. In the beginning, I said that the purpose of the covenant is restoring the relationship with God and His people, which was broken because of our sins. The act of eating means the meeting, relationship, peace between the two was restored. God wanted to celebrate the restored relationship with us. Shall we read verses all together, please? Most. In the covenant eating, they saw God. It means they met God and could approach Him. Someone asked me in a Bible study, why didn't they die when, as sinners, they drew near to approach God and saw Him? That's a very good point. Just before, when they come to God to get the Ten Commandments in the second stage, the Israelites trembled and become so scared, even though they heard only His voice, and they were very far from God in distance. But how was even coming nearer to God possible in the final stage of the covenant? It is because of the sacrificial blood. Let me repeat. It is because of the sacrificial blood. It is because they already believed in Jesus' blood reflected in the shallow blood of the Lamb. They could get close to God temporarily, eating with God, without causing their death. Through the covenant meal, God is symbolically saying that, by the blood of Jesus, you can meet with me. In the context, the eating means reconciliation and intimate fellowship as the result of making the covenant based on the sacrifice. This is a very brief summary of the covenant and the significance of eating in it. Now, let me summarize the meaning of the eating in the covenant into three to apply it to our communion. Firstly, eating together in the covenant means meeting and the relationship, which is the purpose of the covenant. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul highlights this meaning. He points out that the effect of eating what was sacrificed to demons meant having fellowship with devils. Contrary to this, by eating the sacrifice of Jesus at the Lord's table, we have fellowship with God. This is spiritual principle. This passage is confirming to us that eating the bread and drinking the wine in communion is not just a symbolic action, but that we enter into the covenant relationship, fellowship with God. Secondly, eating in the covenant is a physical action, but God made it a spiritual way for the sacrifice and the worshiper to become one. In the Passover, the sacrificial lamb was dead. But by eating it, the worshiper was regarded as dead and paying the price for their sins. So the firstborn, which means Israel, did not need to die, as the sacrificial lamb died instead of them. God's savings plan in the covenant is possible by the unification with Jesus, by eating Jesus' flesh and body to make the substitutionary atonement possible. What a mysterious union by eating. Here we would ask me, I have already been saved, so do I need to keep eating in the communion? In communion, we eat to remember and give thanks, reminding ourselves of what Jesus did for our initial salvation in the past. However, there is more happening by eating in the present as well. The Bible says, whoever eats Jesus' flesh and blood remains in Him, and He in us. But to my surprise, the way of living in Jesus and Jesus in me is the same way that God and Jesus live together. Do you get me? Please listen to me carefully. By eating, we live in Jesus in the same way Jesus lives in God. This is a profound effect when we eat Jesus' flesh and blood covenantly. This is the line with the purpose of the covenant, the relationship, isn't it? We know that in the second stage, the Israelites promised to live as God's holy people, loving God and others. Did they keep all the laws? The history of the Israelites in the Old Testament proved that they didn't know. More correctly, they could not. Although they changed their passport from living in slavery in Egypt to being God's kingdom people, they could not live in God's holy, loving style. Knowing this, God still made the promise there, I will be your God and you will be my people. In other words, he said that, I am holy and I will make you holy. How? It's through the eating together. Today's passage in John shows why the covenant ceremony finished with eating. The eating is the resource for us to live in Jesus, in the way Jesus lives in God. As God already knew, the Israelites had no ability to live with holy, loving God and others in their own strength. And also God already knew that we under the new covenant cannot keep an even higher standard of the laws. He designed the covenant to give us the strength to do so with his resource. By eating Jesus' blood and flesh covenantly, God makes the way to be connected and live in Jesus in the way Jesus lives in God. The covenant meal is the resource which helps us to live holy lives in the relationship as his people. That is why the Bible says the same thing in different words repeatedly. It is not us, but Jesus who lives in us. And we cannot do anything on our own, so we need to be attached to the vine, Jesus. We could not approach near to God due to our sins. However, for the believers in the new covenant, it became possible for the Holy Spirit, the Holy God, even to dwell within us, all because of Jesus' sacrifice. In the new covenant, God asked the Holy Spirit to help us to keep the laws of love which was engraved on our hearts, not on a stone. Also, through the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity can dwell within us. Eating the bread and drinking the wine will help us to renew the covenant relationship, to remain and live in the divine resource that gives the power of Jesus for us to be united with God closely and walk with God, living the way of love as God's holy people, nation, and the priest. What an amazing means of grace communion is. The eating is about, firstly, a restored relationship. Secondly, union with Christ, the source of life. Lastly, let me move to the third point of eating Jesus' blood and flesh. God's plan for the covenant relationship is not confined in the vertical relationship between God and his people. The Passover sacrifice is more like a fellowship offering, as among all five sacrifices in the Old Testament. It is a shadow for Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. The fellowship offering is the only sacrifice where the worshiper actually eats a portion of the sacrifice. Fellowship or peace offering was done not because they wanted to get clean ritually, but because they wanted to celebrate the peace, namely the restored relationship with God through the covenant. The fact of a sacrifice was offered to God. A portion went to the priest, and the rest was eaten by the worshipper and their family. Interestingly, the relationship, the peace was not limited to the connection only between God and the worshipper. The family was involved. The covenant meal was communal on Mount Sinai as well. It means God designed the purpose of the covenant expanding to the horizontal relationship between the covenant community. Does this ring a bell in your mind regarding our communion in church? The Apostle Paul warns us not to take communion in an unworthy manner. For this, he commands us to do two things. Firstly, we need to examine ourselves before eating the bread and wine, which means we need to repent of our sins. And secondly, to discern the body of Christ so as not to eat and drink in sins and the following judgment on ourselves. What is the body here? It is the body of Christ, the church. It means we have to discern not only as individuals, but also church-wise. We need to discern in case we ignore the needy among us or hold on bitterness, have a grudge against someone in the church, or if we have division, etc. Why? It is because the covenant meal is for uniting us as God's people together. Shall we read these verses all together? It's not the cup of thanksgiving. These verses really sum up the meaning of the wine and the bread in communion. Drinking the wine particularly represents our vital union with the blood of Christ. The wine in the Passover meal did not mean they drink the sacrificial lamb's blood. They were commanded to eat only the lamb's meat, and the blood was sprinkled. The wine here means a joy of freedom and redemption, which was added by Jews later, not directly by God in the Passover. The wine did not mean blood. God intentionally saved drinking wine until the new covenant. He deliberately forbade drinking blood, which means the life in the old. It was saying that animals' blood cannot cleanse sins. In the new, God wanted to say that it is only Jesus' blood that can cleanse our sins and that gives the power to live in relationship with God. God brought the new symbol, the wine, for Jesus' blood in the new covenant, finally, which tells clearly the meaning of the shadows. How amazing. Apart from eating the bread as Jesus' flesh, here this passage shows another meaning of eating the bread. We actively join in the union of his body, the church. The union God wants to bring through the covenant eating is not only vertical, but also horizontal. It's good news. Let me wrap up. Jesus commanded us to join in the new covenant meal. The communion will be repeated while on earth to encourage us to live in the covenant of blessings until we eat the proper, perfect, celebratory covenant meal with the Lord in the wedding supper of the Lamb, in the perfect relationship with sin in heaven, without sin in heaven. If you don't believe Jesus yet, I truly invite you to join in this amazing covenant meal and to enter the relationship with God and His covenantal community. It is simple to join in when you just accept and believe what Jesus has done already for saving you from sins and death. You are eligible to join in the repeated renewing covenant relationship. Do not delay. Do it now. Brothers and sisters, before we take communion every month, let's carefully prepare ourselves to join in the covenant meal in a worthy manner by examining ourselves as individuals and as a church. Let's pray for us to experience life with a deeper relationship with God by being connected to the resource of the new life in love by eating the bread and drinking the wine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know that this is not only about bringing the memory of what you did in the past. This is all about now as well. Help us not to take communion as only a small tradition. Help us to experience the intimacy with you, God, and the union as your church. Help us to live by your resources, Jesus, not surviving on our own exhausted strength or our limited wisdom. Help us to live in the newness of life, not in our own sinful nature, but by the power of the Spirit within us. Amen.